Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in everybody. We got to know a little bit about the new Jaguar free agency class yesterday. We'll hear from a number of them. I got a chance to sit down with Chris Ivory yesterday afternoon. We'll hear that conversation coming up. Also hear some of the thoughts of Tayshawn Gibson, who seems like a very interesting guy. It's going to be a fun interview when we get a chance to sit down with him, Tony, one-on-one throughout the course of the season
Doubt. You know, listening to that guy yesterday and watching what's happening in free agency through the first couple days, and I know a lot of Jaguars fans, yesterday the show was basically about Olivier Vernon and the fact that the Jags didn't get him and the reaction of fans to them not getting that deal done. And we'll be talking to Dave Caldwell here in about 10 minutes, and that name may come up when Dave Caldwell comes in studio with us. But, you know, talking to fans and listening to them react and the idea out there that, you know, players just don't want to come to Jacksonville. They just don't want to be here in Jacksonville, and that's a problem for this team, and nobody wants to play here. You think people don't want to play here? San Francisco has $62 million in cap space. They can't find anybody to take any of that money because they hire Chip Kelly and their team sucks. And Cleveland, everybody is leaving, and Tayshawn Gibson is standing up there at podium going, I just want to go somewhere where I can win.
Right, where I can win.
He said that about you, Jacksonville. He was so desperate to get out of Cleveland, he wanted to go somewhere he could win.
A team that's won 12 games in the last three under Gus Bradley, 14 games overall in the last four, is seen as a better landing spot. Which, by the way, what does that say about San Francisco? That the reports are out this morning that Kaepernick prefers Cleveland as his trade destination. So he prefers Cleveland, the mistake by the lake. San Fran, man, what a mess that is. At least Jacksonville raising its profile among those around the National Football League is in terms of a place, a destination for free agents. And perhaps Prince Amukamara, Robert Ayers, Jags either scheduled to visit with or already have visited with. Not clear on the schedule on those guys, but we'll talk to the man who should know, Dave Caldwell.
Dave, if he's listening in the building, feel free to bring one of them with you.
You can bring them both.
Yeah, we'll talk to anybody.
Bring their contracts. They can sign them right here on Jaguars Today.
Yeah,
done. That'd be fantastic. By the way, is that the all-time Jaguars Today bait and switch? We threw out there on Twitter this morning that Jaguar fan favorite Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports would be joining us at 10:20 today. And we just bumped him for Dave Caldwell moments ago. So how about that for a bait and switch? Sorry to disappoint you, Jaguars.
We're still
fans.
Hoping to have him on later in the show. I'm working on that.
All right, Tyler Devitt is working on that because we must balance the good with the evil as far as that goes. I know Jaguar fans have an issue with Jason Lockett, or maybe several, but he is a good national reporter. At least I enjoy talking to him. We wanted to get a little national perspective on how the Jags have done in free agency and some of the other big stories still hanging out there in this free agency time period. But we'll come back. We'll break early to make sure we have the decks cleared for the general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Dave Caldwell, getting ready to join us in a few minutes to get caught up on the offseason to date to this point and what more work needs to be done for this football team. So that's coming up on a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. We'll hear from Chris Ivory, Tayshawn Gibson, Malik Jackson throughout the course of the show today. Who knows? Maybe we'll even hear from Brad Nortman along the way. He was interesting as far as the punter goes. I may never talk to the guy again. Hope you don't have to talk to the punter again, Tony, but we'll welcome him aboard as well as a new member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Your general manager, Dave Caldwell, straight ahead live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
In my opinion, they just came at me the hardest. You know, I feel like they really had a need for me, and they had a place for me to come in here and fit and be, and let me be the player I want to be as far as going to the next level and being a leader and kind of help coming and helping the team grow and to help the younger players and just kind of bringing that winning culture back to Jacksonville.
Really, it was one of the main guys we targeted going into this, and just felt like with his versatility and, as you guys know, our struggles on third down last year, he's going to bring an element of disruption. And, you know, not only on third down packages, but his first and second down pass rush skills are something that we kind of craved last year, and we look forward to getting him on the field.
First, that was Malik Jackson yesterday appearing on the Frank Frangie Show with Rick Ballew yesterday afternoon, talking about some of the reasoning why he chose to come to Jacksonville. And then, of course, Dave Caldwell talking about why they targeted Malik Jackson. And we've got the general manager of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Dave Caldwell, here with us this morning. Everyone's going to be upset that my first question is going to be, how you doing?
I am doing great right now. I'm got a cup of coffee and just kind of Waiting to see how this day unfolds today.
And that the second question is, how do you think this day is going to unfold today?
Well, we'll see. We don't have to do anything today, and if it makes sense for us, we'll do it. We have a couple players in today, and we'll see. It's we're not going to go overboard. This is phase two, and if they want to be here and we can come to an agreement with them, then we'll do it. But this isn't the time to be overly aggressive like it was in the first couple of days.
Yeah, and just for clarity for people who may not know, not everybody follows every iota of news. Robert Ayers and Prince Amukamara are the guys visiting with you today.
That's right.
Yep. Defensive end and cornerback formerly now with the New York Giants.
Yeah, and for fans who maybe don't know what that means, it means they're in town, but what does it mean when a player is visiting you?
Well, Robert got in last night and he was able to have dinner with us, and we took all the four new guys out to dinner last night at North Beach Fish Camp, and then we came back today, but Robert got in time to meet the four new guys, which was good. And he and Malik have a history together because they played together at Tennessee and at Denver, so that was good for that purpose. And then Prince got in late last night. Those guys got up early this morning and did their physical with our team doctor, Dr. Kaplan, over there at JOI, and then and so they just finished up with that, and then they'll come out meet with our coaches. I'll meet with them, before lunch some point in time. They'll go grab lunch somewhere and then come back and kind of, weigh their options. Hey, I have this offer from here. I have another offer somewhere else, or I may just wait to see what it's going to be. Just because they leave here doesn't not necessarily mean we won't sign them. Some of them may want to go take another visit and stuff like that, which is understandable.
Dave Caldwell here with us talking about Jags free agency. You signed a couple of guys that project to start immediately for you on defense, Malik Jackson and Tashawn Gibson. You spoke about them a little bit yesterday, but just talk a little bit again, if you could, about the role that the team envisions for Malik Jackson particularly.
Yeah, he's very versatile. I think, the inside pass rush, we play Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota, and now Brock Osweiler, and then be able to get a quarterback off their mark. The easiest way to do it is to bother quarterbacks is with an inside rush, and he does that better than anybody. You couple that with the hope that Derek Marks comes back, and then you're sitting there with two really good 300-plus pound inside rushers that could be formidable. You don't have to have two great outside guys, but if you have two really good inside guys and a really good outside guy and Dante Fowler, you're better off than most teams. And then we have the draft to maybe find a complement to those guys on the other side too. Robert Ayers, if he's in the fold, he can play outside too. So the cupboard's not bare by any means. In addition of Malik and getting Derek and Dante back, we feel good about those.
Hey, you mentioned Derek a couple of times there. As far as is the expectation that by training camp or whatever the time period is, that he is going to be as fully recovered as he needs to be?
He should be, and even before that, I would assume that by OTAs he should be out there and ready to go.
We knew going into the offseason that defense was going to be the priority. You've talked about that pass rush is what you really wanted to improve. Find some way to get to the opposing quarterback. You bring in Malik Jackson, obviously one of your top targets. You miss out on Olivier Vernon. How disappointing was that for you?
Well, it was disappointing, and there was a sense of relief too. And, like I said yesterday, we got way, way out of our comfort zone on this deal, and never imagined that it would get to the numbers that it got to. And, like I said, he did not make this decision based off of financial situations. He made this decision based off other reasons as to, maybe something that drew him to New York versus Jacksonville. And maybe being a Florida kid his whole life, he wanted to go experience something different. I can't comment on what his reasons were, but I assure you it wasn't financially. And then after, so there was a sense of relief of, not that we dodged the bullet, but you never know. And, we went through some things last year in similar situations where we didn't get guys. And to be honest with you, it ended up working out for the better. And, we ended up drafting TJ Yeldon in the second round. That worked out. We ended up drafting Rashad Green in the fifth round. And that really worked out. And we looked at him like, wow, we may have saved ourselves about $20 million. And we probably got similar type of production out of those two guys. So these things work out for a reason. We take our best shot. We're aggressive with it. And we have other means of improving this team, too.
Chris Ivory comes in to compliment T.J. Yeldon, to work with T.J. Yeldon in the backfield. Tony and I were talking about this. You look at the money and you say, wow, that's pretty decent money on the free agent market for Chris Ivory. Do you look at it as here's our position group, and this is as much as we're willing to allocate to the group. Is that a consideration when you're trying to, you know, balance the book, so to speak?
Well, if you look at the deal, and which the reported stuff may or may not be accurate in what you see out there, so if at best case scenario you say we sign him to a $6 million deal, which has been reported, which not
you're freaking clear up any
deal. The smile makes me think that that's not the deal.
You might have had more of a team friendly front end of the contract.
So that's a deal, and then you say, okay, well, we got TJ at less than $1 million. You got two really good backs at $7 million. Well, that's good because, you know, some of the really good backs just got paid $7 million
sure.
a year. So now we got two guys at that price. And, you know, we get them for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, by that time, you know, TJ's maybe ready to be that veteran. And then, you know, we have time in the next couple of years to bring in another young guy. Doesn't mean we won't draft a guy this year either, but now we don't have to.
Why Chris Ivory as your target? Was he your primary target? And as opposed to some of the other guys, Lamar Miller was available, Doug Martin available, Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Why Ivory for
guys,
you?
Ivory for us was really just a guy that his aggressive, urgent run style. He is an aggressive guy. He's very physical. And short yardage is important to us. And, you know, we had our issues there. He's very good at that. But he's a little bit different. You know, TJ's a patient runner. He's got excellent vision. But he's more of a pick and slide, where Chris is get the ball, one cut, and he's heading north and south. That's a good compliment, and that will keep defenses on their toes a little bit.
2 years ago, you guys liked DeSean Gibson up there in Cleveland. He had a really good season in 2014, kind of a step back last year. Was he the guy you targeted at the free safety spot?
He was, and you know, there was a couple other guys that we liked, and DeSean, you know, a year ago we contemplated going after him off of the RFA tender, and we just didn't do it, and because of the knee, he was coming off of a knee injury, and then coming into this year, we said he didn't have as good a year, but we really felt like his skill set and our system, he could flourish and not only get back to the 2014 level, but be better than that.
Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell here with us. Offensive line is a spot, or, you know, as a group that people think could use a little more fortifying. Do you think right now, if you add an offensive lineman, is it for competition? Is it for depth? Do you think you've got enough on the roster right now that you could go to battle with a starting five?
I think we have enough right now that we can go to battle. We're always looking to improve it, and we're always looking to add competition and depth. And between now and training camp, there will be, whether it's through the draft or whether it's through you know, free agency. Some guys may get cut. Some guys may get let go if we want to get a gritty veteran in here. And so I'm not concerned if we did nothing. I think we'll be more than okay. We get Brandon Linder back, you know, he missed 14 games last year, and to get him back in full swing. And then A.J. Kahn's got another year under his belt. Jeremy Parnell, another year under his belt. Luke Joko, another year under his belt. And then, you know, we have some guys that we like that are here, and Luke Bawenko, Tyler Shatley, Chris Reed, who was on our practice squad, Kadeem Edwards, who was on our practice squad. Those guys are viable NFL starting type of options.
Give us your view as it stands at the moment of Luke Joko and where he stands in his career, because you understand how fans react. He was a very high draft pick, ended the season with a bad game. He's been a guy that has been a focus of criticism from the fan base and the media as well. Just where does he sit in the eyes of the Jaguar organization?
Well, I think when you take somebody with the second pick overall, there is expectations. And I was reading an article at the Combine about how teams have to be a lot more patient with their draft picks because, you know, some of these guys aren't ready. And you think about Luke Joko, and we talk about how great A.J. Kahn played last year. To put things in perspective for you, A.J. Kahn is a month older than Luke Joko, and A.J. Kahn played his rookie ball last year. We would never make excuses for Luke. He's played some excellent games this year, played very good games. I think up until the last game of the season, he may have given up maybe two sacks all year for a left tackle. Pretty impressive. But then in the last game of the season, it was not very pretty, and I think Luke knows that. He was going against a couple of great players. But I would say that he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. I think he has a lot of room for improvement. I think he needs to improve, but I think he knows that too. And, you know, he's in here every day working out, getting stronger. And, you know, I think he's good enough for us to get to where we want to be, and ultimately that's the Super Bowl championship. But he has to get better, and along with everybody else.
Dave, you mentioned getting out of your comfort zone a little bit with the Vernon negotiations. Was this free agency frenzy what you expected it to be? The kind of money that got thrown around, is that where you expected it to be?
It was, and it was interesting talking to the guys last night that we signed, and you know, you never really know how close or how far you are from the other teams, and talking to the guys last night, and then circling back with some of the agents, and then even some of the teams that were after the guys, realizing that it was actually surprising that we got some of the guys, and that some of the guys had some pretty good offers from other places, and it was very close, and some of the places that you wouldn't expect them to choose Jacksonville over, which was great to hear, and we were excited about that.
All right, let's switch it back over to defense here for a second. Now with Tayshaun Gibson coming in, it looks like it sets up Jonathan Cyprien versus James Sample, a battle for the strong safety spot. I get asked this a lot, and maybe it's a crazy question. You can put me in my place, but people ask me, what about Cyprien maybe playing some linebacker? Could he play some linebacker if, say, Sample was a starting free safety? And also get asked about Scooter. Could Scooter be more of a defensive end in certain packages if you fail to land, you know, the kind of depth you're looking for? What about those two guys?
Well, we've discussed both of those options. And, yeah, Sip, he has a skill set where he could play linebacker. The tough situation is you're looking at him being 220, Telvin being just under 220. Now you get really small. You get a lot faster, a lot more athletic. So you got to be careful. You don't want it too many small guys. If you have Telvin and you have Puz and then you have Scoot at linebacker, well, you can be okay with one, and Telvin makes up with it for his speed. As far as Scoot, it's funny because we talk about that a lot, and the plan was last year to use him at that. And right when we were about to make that move to put him down at the Leo spot or do some rushing inside, he pulled his he had a soft tissue injury. He had a groin injury, so he kind of missed, you know, towards the end of the season, and we were going to do that. That's the plan moving forward with him.
Does what you've done in the first 2 days of free agency, obviously still a lot more time to work in free agency, but does any of that affect how you think about the number five pick?
Not right now. I think the number five pick, we don't know who's going to be there. We can have, you know, we have to make sure we can put this roster together and be as good as it can be. So when the number five pick comes around, we're not forced to reach for a player, and we're not forced to that if the player that we thought was going to be there and now we have a hole and he's all of a sudden gone, then we're in trouble. So the object is to make this roster as good as it can be before the draft and then take the best player available.
I would think you would want as many quarterbacks to go. If the first four teams want to take quarterbacks, you'd be okay with that this year. You know, we're following the stories, and we're such NFL junkies, and, you know, Cleveland may be in the mix for Colin Kaepernick. Does that take them out of drafting a quarterback at number two? Are you at the stage right now where you could say, I've got five guys I love. No matter what goes ahead of me in the draft, I'm going to come up with a guy I love with the fifth pick?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll get somebody really good there. And there'll be no problem finding a very good player with the fifth pick. And it may not be a household name. It may be a household name. You never know.
A lot of the questions we get are about the Leo position, specifically Dante Fowler obviously didn't play at all last year. Is there still any thought to moving him around at all? And what kind of role do you expect for Ryan Davis coming back?
So Dante, I think the wise thing and the prudent thing for us will be to put him at the Leo position and let him get as many reps as he can in order to be successful there. Once he has that, and then, once teams figure out that, hey, this guy's pretty good, we might have to chip him and double team him, that's when you start to say, okay, Dante, maybe we'll move you around, maybe we'll move you inside a little bit, maybe we'll move you, you know, to over to center, maybe we'll put you in a two-point stance, maybe we'll let you rush from here or there. But I think right now, let him master that Leo position. Like I said yesterday, I saw a video of him working out, very, very encouraged by what I saw. He's in very good shape. He's leaned down, and he looked explosive and quick and coming off the ball there.
You're getting to the point now, or it's a great problem to have. How are we going to make all these guys happy on offense? Got so many playmakers. I mean, really, you got 2,000-yard receivers, former Pro Bowl tight end. Now you have two running backs that are going to need the football. Rashad Green, Marquise Lee. What about Marquise? What are you expecting out of him this season?
I know he's working really hard. He was in last week, was here for a full week, went back, and he's in and out of school. So, but we're keeping tabs on him and making sure he's doing everything according to plan. So I think, it's great competition, and that's, you know, we are just kind of comparing the roster to 3 years ago. And it's amazing that you're even saying that right now in terms of how we can keep all these guys happy. 3 years ago, we were like, who's going to line up for us at wide receiver, and who's going to be our starting tight end? And so, that's a good problem to have. But, you know, we have a group of great, great guys in our locker room, and all they want to do is win. All they want to do is be successful. And if you ask Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Blake Bortles and TJ Yell, then all they want to do is be successful for a city of Jacksonville.
What about Rashad Greene? I know he came back. He missed that time because of the injury. Was a dynamic guy in the punt return game for you guys last year. You've had the issues with Marquise Lee staying healthy. How do you feel about Rashad Greene if he is asked to just be that number three receiver?
Really good. Shame he got hurt last year with the thumb injury, because he was off to a really good start early in the season, and then finished the season, broke records in terms of Pro Bowl yards per attempt, and or punt returns per attempt. Feel really good about him and competing there as a slot. I think he could play any of the three positions if we had to miss a guy for a game or two, and really like his work ethic, his demeanor, his toughness, and we really need him to get us good field position and punt returns, and then possibly work at that slot receiver between him and a guy like Brian Walters, who had a nice year for us last year too.
Final couple minutes here with Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager on 1010XL. Dave, Allen Hurns, as we understand, eligible for a contract extension, right, because he was undrafted. Is that something that could be in the offseason plans?
You know, we haven't really discussed a lot. I know we think very, very highly of Allen. I think those things will take care of himself. I think if we were to do anything along those lines, it'd be post-draft once all the dust settles and kind of see where we're at and go from there. Obviously, like we said from the beginning, we want to draft and be able to take care of our own. So if we have an opportunity to do that, we'll try to take advantage of it.
Do you feel like you have a pretty good plan in place? I know that's part of the job, is always planning ahead. Like, you're going to be taking care of Blake at some point, Allen Robinson, all these guys. You feel like you're very happy with where you stand in terms of your cap management?
Yeah, very good. You know, Tim Walsh, John Idzik, that came on last year, do a really good job of that. And that's the thing. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is go 9-7 and then have to blow it all up, you know, in a year from now, or 10-6 and not make the playoffs, and then have to blow it up and make difficult decisions. And then all of a sudden you make a run. When we make a run and we want to blow it up, we want to do what Denver did and, come home with the championship.
No doubt.
And then maybe have
to tweak
it a little
bit. Yeah.
But well, that's a plan. You know, if we can get, Denver went to two Super Bowls in 3 years. Not have to make those tough decisions unless you win a Super Bowl,
and not have to lose your quarterback in the process.
Well, two of them,
right? Exactly, the top two on the depth chart.
We talked going into free agency. Big splash was a term that we heard a lot. Do you feel like you made the kind of splash that you wanted to early in free agency? What else would you like to get done?
I feel we did. I thought we were very, very solid. I thought we addressed needs that we had. We made our team better in four spots. And at the end of the day, it was just a situation where. Somebody said if you get 25% of your targets, you had a good free agency. Well, I think we got 75% of our targets, and we missed out on one. So, missing out on one will enable us to be more aggressive, down the road if a guy comes available via a salary cap casualty or something like that.
What was Bruce Irvin a guy you had a level of interest in?
We didn't have I don't think we were going to go down that road ever. And I think. His time in Seattle was really good for him, and I think there were just some things from a fit standpoint that we weren't sure for us.
All right, there you go. Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell. I'm sure I'll get now 15 tweets on, you didn't ask him this. We did our best in the time allotted. Dave, we do appreciate time. Always do, man. It was good to see you, and continued success this free agency period.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy.
He's
there
the only
goes.
Guy who calls me skinny. I love this guy.
Skinny T is who you are in Dave Caldwell's eyes. Dave Caldwell, General Manager, your Jacksonville Jaguars. Back with more Jaguars today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Straight ahead on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's like the music announces her.
Donna Murphy's here, ladies and gentlemen, right? It's a totally different aesthetic, and I love it. Donna Murphy is
That's not how I meant
favorite.
It. I just hurried up and picked one.
That's fine, but we do know when you are slinging the hits for us back there at 1010XL World Headquarters. Donna Murphy, my all-time favorite person at 1010XL 92.5 FM, as Tyler Devitt has stepped out for right now. Is it a Friday producers meeting, Donna? Is that what we're standing
That's
down the
right.
barrel of? What the heck? Monday might be the day to plan the week. You know what I mean? I don't know. They wait till Friday on these things when everybody, half the station's out the door. What are you going
to
do about
it's
that?
It's to tell them everything they did wrong that week.
That's right. All right. Well, you you should be in that meeting because you probably take notes on everything everybody does wrong because you never made a mistake, as far at least in my eyes.
Too kind.
We worked together. Yes. All right. That was a lot of fun. Dave Caldwell.
Oh, yeah.
And really, you know, Bruce Irvin was never in the mix. We asked him when we went off air. Mario Williams was never in the mix. These were not guys they felt they missed out on. They had four main targets, Olivier Vernon being one of them, but Tashawn Gibson was one of those guys, Chris Ivory was one of those guys, and Malik Jackson was one of those guys. So they batted 750, Tony. And good luck with Robert Ayers and Prince Amukamara. I love the connection with Malik Jackson, with Robert Ayers. Right?
Yeah, there's that was a lot good of, stuff.
You go back to college, you go to the Denver Bronco days, and they all went out to dinner last night, the new guys. So I hope, like, when you get that recruiting class coming in, you get those early enrollees, Tony, and they're out there campaigning for those guys for National Signing Day to come join them.
And to clarify something, because I'm watching Twitter go nuts with this, and it's one of those where you may hear something that you didn't really hear. When we asked about the possibility of Cyprian moving to linebacker at all, they said they considered it and decided against it. Jonathan Cyprian is a strong safety. That's what he is for this football team. That's what he's going to remain. They're not playing him at linebacker.
Correct, but they do plan on playing Scooter more as a pass rusher this year. And in fact, that was the plan late last season. But that is something that comes up all the time. Why don't they play Cyprian at safety? And usually the answer we give is, look at the size of Telvin Smith. Look at the size of Cyprian. That is two really small guys. You're going to struggle against the run in those situations. Cyprian may be more suited to play the run, but not necessarily that close to the line of scrimmage in your front seven.
Right.
You know, so it's Sip and Sample battling it out for the safety position, and one of them hopefully will be considered quality depth at that point. There's nothing wrong with having some quality depth.
Nope.
As we sat here, you know, Dave just would get the smile on his face thinking back to what the wide receiver core looked like just 3 years ago, Tony, and who was going to line up for this football team compared to now. We're sitting here saying, well, how are you going to get the ball to this guy? How are you going to get the ball to this guy? Is this guy eligible for a contract extension already? So nothing imminent on Allen Hurns. And we didn't expect it wasn't something that needs to be a rush job. But once everything settles down after the roster is completed, after the draft, and you got your 90-man outlook for the offseason, and you see where you stand salary cap-wise at that point in time once you get your draft class signed, then, you know, look, they've got a plan, and that's been part of it ever since they got here. Not only to compete, but to sustain competition. Now, you can argue they haven't competed yet, because they haven't won more than five games in this era. But if Dave Caldwell says, let's assume we take that leap to 9-7. We don't want to go 9-7 and have to break up the band. We want to go 9-7, have everybody coming back, make that Super Bowl run, be like the Denver Broncos. You know, it's one thing if you win the Super Bowl and you got to lose a few key contributors.
Sure.
You can cry your tears as you're shining up that Lombardi
trophy. No doubt about it. And we're going to hear from Chris Ivory here in just a moment, who you caught up with yesterday after all the press conferences were going on. But if you go back 3 years ago to the questions they were having at wide receiver alone on this football team, it was still in the middle of discussions about Blackman and is he ever going to get his act straight. So he was still on the roster but not available to him. Cecil Shorts, Jordan Shipley, Muhammad Massaqua, Taylor Price, Ace Sanders.
Wow.
The top five listed on the depth chart. Mike Brown, Tony Clemens, a couple of the other guys. Jeremy Ebert was on that team as well.
Brian Walters almost better than any of those guys.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, not to knock Cecil. Cecil, when he's healthy, I think is a better player. But
those would be your two.
Those would be your top two guys, and now that's your five right now for your Jacksonville Jaguars. So good stuff there. And another piece on the offensive side, Tony, as you mentioned, Chris Ivory got a chance to visit with him a little bit yesterday and welcome him to Jacksonville. We got Chris Ivory here with us, one of the newest Jacksonville Jaguars. Chris, first off, welcome to Jacksonville, man. Did you have an inkling that this would be one of the teams that would pursue you in free agency?
Yeah, man. It was one of the teams, man. But what stood out the most was, you know, just a team that I knew was ready to come in and compete. You know, when I was in New York playing Jacksonville Jaguars, the heat was on, man. It was a tough game for me when I came down. And, you know, I just seen the fire in the defense, man. And I just felt like this team was trending in the right direction, was on the rise. So I felt like I would be a good fit here.
Is that something that stuck with you really since that point? Because, I mean, if you just look at the record, the Jags have only won 12 games since Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell took over here. Did that really stand out to you that much? You remember, really recall that from that day?
Yeah, I do really recall that, man. But, you know, the record, you know, is not all, glamorous and everything, but I feel like the team is a lot better than what the record shows. And that's where I'm at with it, man.
You've got a couple of good receivers here. You played with a couple of great ones in New York last year as well. How important is that to have balance in an offense so the defenses cannot key on you, the running game or the passing game for that matter?
It's definitely important, you know, having a quarterback and two receivers on the outside that can take those guys out the box for you, man. I think if you having a balanced attack definitely helps, man. I think it keeps a defense honest in the sense of down in situation. You know, when the pass game is going, you know, you get guys biting on, you know, the receivers and expecting the quarterback or the play to be a pass play, and then you turn around and run the ball. So I think if you have a balanced attack, you know, you just keep guys, you know, on their toes, not knowing what to do.
You're described the various ways as a violent runner, right? Your style of play, loves contact, doesn't shy away from it, certainly. Downhill, aggressive runner. I would think, listening to you earlier, that fits the bill in how you see yourself as well.
I do think I am a physical runner. I do get vertical. That's just something that stuck with me for a while. You know, that's what I've been coached to make one or two cuts and get vertical. You know, I was always told, you know, you don't want to dance, you know, do too much dance and trying to make a guy miss because you're allowing backside pursuit to get to you. You know, by time, you know, you have better chance with making one or two cuts and getting vertical. That's where the yards are at. All in all, I would say I'm a physical runner. You know, my mentality is I won't be denied, and, you know, that's how I approach it.
It looks like the NFL is going more towards at least two capable backs on every team. In New Orleans, you split a lot of time. In New York, your carries gradually built up to where you carried 247 times last year. Is there a sweet spot for you where you think you're most effective? The two prior years, you were right around 200 carries. Is there an ideal amount that you think you would be the most effective at?
Well, I'm a team guy, man. It's kind of hard to judge carries. You know, it depends on your opponent.
Yeah, if you're running the daylight and hitting the end zone, those carries aren't too rough on you, are they?
Yeah, that's not it. Yeah, that makes things better. That makes it better, definitely. But I'm not a guy that says, give me the ball 15, 20 times, man. For me, I try to make the best out of every opportunity I get. And so with those opportunities, I'm giving it my all. So,
have they talked to you, to the Jags, when they were courting you and trying to sign you? They've got T.J. Yeldon, who they drafted high second round last year. They really liked what he did as a rookie. Have they talked about how they want to see you two guys mesh, what your different roles are going to be?
No, I hadn't really got too much input on that, but I do know you know, they gave me a chance to come in and compete for the job, and that's what I'm gonna do. And you know, while doing so, just trying to you know, help in any way that I can, you know, with a younger guy. And you know, as for myself, you know, just trying to continue to be better, and that's a goal, just be better each year.
27's not old for a person. It's not old for a running back either, I don't think. Particularly for a guy like you, you feel like you've got a lot of good years left in you because you haven't had those 300 carry seasons pile up.
I do feel like I have a lot left in the tank, man. I definitely do. You know, a lot of people try to throw the age thing around. I don't really feel like that's much of a factor. I feel like it's more about your work and how much you put into yourself to have that success. And what I mean by that is, what are your training habits? What are your eating habits? And, you know, what are you doing to allow your body to recover properly? And so I think if I continue to do those things, I think that, you know, I have a lot left that I can continue to, you know, play at a high level.
What are you into? What do you like when you're not eating, sleeping, and drinking football, when you want to relax a little bit? What are you into?
I'm more into getting away, man. I like getting away to the island. That's a big yes of mine. You know, I like to get to the Caribbean when I can. But if not, if I'm not taking a vacation, I like to fish, which I hadn't done in years. Plan on doing that, and I'm a big movie guy and a family guy. So times like this, other than when I'm not doing those things or doing things of hobby, trying to put my body back together.
All about that ball.
Yeah, right. Then massages and still doing acupuncture and just making sure that, you know, my training comes into place at the right time to where when it is time for off-season workouts that I'm ready.
I talked to Rich Cimini, who covered you guys up there in New York for a long time, said he counted five or six guys that had to leave the game because of injury after they tried to tackle you last year. Do you remember any? You get a lot of pub for the one time you ran over Sue in the Miami game. I think that was in London. Is there a particularly violent collision that stands out to you that you got a lot of satisfaction from trucking somebody?
I get satisfaction out of most of the runs. Nothing really sticks out to me. I feel like I've been so consistent with it. It's not even me saying that I'm stronger than you. That's not even the mentality. It's not even I'm stronger than you mentality. It's more about, I guess, the downer situation. And when I feel shut off, you know, that's what I do. That's what I resort to. It's trying to get lower and power through the guy that's in front of me.
Last one for you here. In terms of short yardage, Jags have struggled in that department in the last couple of years. You feel that that is one of the areas that you excel? Do you think you have a nose for the end zone, that you're the guy, if you need to pick up a tough yard or two, you're the guy to call on?
I definitely feel like I can get the job done. But, you know, as a team, that, you know, it starts with the guys up front. You know, if they have the surge going, it's most likely going to be a positive play. But, you know, as a runner, you can't do it on your own. So, you know, with the help of the guys in the front, I definitely think I could I would be able to get it done.
All right, Chris. Well, congrats on getting the deal done as quickly as you did. Welcome again to Jacksonville. Look forward to you getting a lot of those tough yards for the Jaguars for many years to come.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Chris Ivory, one of the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, I don't want to overplay a quick comment, but it shows you the competitive spirit of these guys. And we're sitting here talking about, oh, won't this be lovely? TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory and la, 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 la. And they're all going to get along. It's going to be a great shared backfield. And you heard him say, I was told I got a chance to come here and compete for the job. The job, when you say the job, you mean the starting job. Both of these guys want to be the first guy taking that first series of snaps on the football field.
They should.
And they should. And hopefully that competition will push those guys to, and also don't forget what Dave Caldwell said when you're factoring in the size, the overall size of the contract. He almost laughed out loud at the idea that it was a $6 million contract for Chris Ivory.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes, all right, let's even put it in those terms, right? Because that would be the extreme high end of what's being discussed here. You got TJ Yeldon in on his rookie deal, so you got two quality running backs for about $7 million. You look around, that's about what a good starting running back is going for right now, and you've got your own built-in insurance policy as far as that goes. So good stuff there with Chris Ivory. We'll come back to State and Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Plus, John Osier from Jaguars.com is going to stop and give us his impressions of the first wave of Jaguar free agency now that it's completed. It's a Friday brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, Tony, it's not just birthdays in football history.
Oh, my goodness.
Today. How about this? This is a 30-year-old NFL rule was instituted 30 years ago today. Do you know what it was?
Two-point conversion?
Nope, the adoption of instant replay.
Okay.
In the National Football League. It had been tinkered with in some preseason contests before, but the first full-on introduction of instant replay was voted in on this date in 1986. They would then go on to use it in the 1986 season and have had it in some form or fashion ever since in the National Football League. Yes, we've got birthdays for this date. 1975, Sean Springs, former number 3 overall draft pick by the Seattle Seahawks. I believe it was 97. He turns 41. Made the Pro Bowl his second year in the league and then never really reached those heights again. How about this? Who was the Jaguars' third-round draft pick in 2001? A linebacker out of the SEC from your most hated rival, the Tennessee Volunteers. Eric Westmoreland, third-round pick. Got a lot of value out of him. He was out of the league within 4 years.
Who?
39 years old today. Greg Olsen, not our Greg Olsen, Greg Olsen. Tight end Greg Olsen turns 31 years old today, born in this date in 1985, a two-time Pro Bowler. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Multiple sources reporting that 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick has made it clear where he would like to play his football next year, Cleveland. Kaepernick is reportedly saying that he wants to play for Browns' new head coach, Hugh Jackson. The Browns hold the number 2 pick in the draft, and the most common thought right now is that the Browns would be drafting a quarterback with that pick. If Kaepernick goes there, that could be bad news for the Jags. The Miami Dolphins have signed running back C.J. Anderson to an offer sheet of 4 years and $18 million. Anderson was tendered a one-year deal by the Broncos as a restricted free agent. Denver now has 5 days to match that offer. They receive no compensation if they can't or decide not to match that offer to C.J. Anderson. And Ohio State having its pro day today. The Buckeyes have 22 players working out on the campus this afternoon, including potential top five pick Joey Bosa. Bosa did 28 bench press reps compared to 24 at the combine earlier today. Also ran in the mid 4.7s, improving his on his 4.86 40 time at the NFL Combine, according to Albert Breer on Twitter.
All right, and also I just want to mention once again, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, but Tyler was out of the room. Donna Murphy was in at the moment. I heard Tyler saying his update. The Jags, Dave Caldwell mentioned they have considered using Jonathan Cyprian as a linebacker, but ultimately decided that he's best served to remain a safety, and that's what he will be for this football team. And the question is, will he be the starting strong safety for this football team? So if you get a chance, if you missed any of it, Dave Caldwell, I'm telling you, we've been around NFL people for a long time, different GMs of this football team, Tony, different executives around the National Football League, not many of them as honest and open about the impressions of the players on the roster as Dave Caldwell is. I think with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he'll tell you, hey, this guy needs to be better. He hasn't been good enough. But at the same time, here's why we like so-and-so maybe more than the public perception. Interesting to me that by their film study that they had only attributed 2 sacks to Luke Jokel going into the last week. Now, I'll give him a fudge factor on that because I think Dave was trying to pull that off the top of his head. So if it's 3 or 4, it's still not an exceedingly high total. And we sit there and we grade offensive line. And trust me, I'm not trying to tell you Luke Jokel's played like a Pro Bowler at all. And I think if you listen to this program consistently, you know that I don't feel that way. But it is fair to say that, you know, we, along with most of the public, I think are novices at grading the offensive line simply because we're handicapped by not knowing what each lineman's responsibility is on a given play, right?
Sure.
And so where sometimes you get beat, maybe you're trying to help a guy who's getting beat himself, and that gets you out of position. There are all kinds of different factors that go into it. Again, I think, look, if it were me and Laramie Tunsil were sitting there at 5, he'd be a Jacksonville Jaguar. So I'm not trying to say that Luke Jokel has done more than he has accomplished, but I think it also puts it in a good perspective. A.J. Cann is older than Luke Jokel, and so
yeah.
Luke's been playing, like A.J. Cann had at this age. Imagine if Luke Jokel, with 2 years of NFL experience, was able to go back last year and play in college, how much better he would have been as a collegiate player and how much more highly regarded he would be. So, chronologically, he still has a lot of room for growth.
No, he does, and I think that's been the conversation about him the whole time. From at least the Jaguars' perspective, is he's not as bad as he looked in Week 17. We actually think he had a pretty good year. That's why we're not talking about trying to replace the left tackle. They got Ayers and Amukamara coming through the building today. Say they get Amukamara signed, right? So now you've addressed corner, you've addressed safety, and maybe that's just, these are the guys that are available to us. We want to make sure we're addressing positions of need. We have the money to go do it. In free agency, they're both young guys. Amukamara would be 26. Deshaun Gibson is 26. We don't know if Jalen Ramsey's going to be available to us at 5. We don't expect him to be available to us at 5. Who knows what the thought process is from that perspective. But obviously, it doesn't look like there's a Leo candidate available to him at that number 5 spot. So if they're not looking at Leo, and because of whatever they've addressed, they feel like they don't need to go get a free safety or a corner in that position, maybe they don't want to go get Buckner because he plays basically the same position that you just paid 6 years, $90 million to go get Malik Jackson, and he can do that too. You paid $8 million to Jared Odrick the year before. You got Sendarek Marks coming back. You feel pretty good about Alualu, so maybe that's not the guy you want to go get. Are they setting this up to pull a blanket over all our eyes when they select a left tackle at 5?
Maybe.
Right? I mean, it's because they're filling all these needs. I don't know if that's the direction they're going. I don't know if that's the thought process they have right now. But they're filling a bunch of the needs that we feel like they have on defense to a point where if we got the number 5 in the draft and left tackle was the best available player, then it makes all that much more sense to not force somebody into that spot.
Right. And, you know, I almost wonder now, too, about Jalen Ramsey. It is so stuck in my head since talking with Tony Pauline, what was it, about a week ago, right, about how he is so much better suited to play facing the line of scrimmage and that he really suffers, his play suffers, when he needs to turn his back to the ball. That's why he thinks he's ideal as a free safety,
right,
and not so much as a cornerback, although he thinks he can play that in the NFL. He thinks he would excel really as a free safety. Tayshaun Gibson is not a stopgap signing, right?
No.
I mean, this is a Pro Bowler 2 years ago at 25 years old going into his second contract. This is a guy that you hope carries on the position until he's 30 years old or maybe beyond. So I'm not saying that that takes Ramsey out of contention. I'm just saying it's not as obvious a fit necessarily unless you really believe, and maybe they do. Maybe they don't agree with that assessment. Maybe they agree or feel that Ramsey can line up and play lockdown corner for you. And without the pressure, maybe you sign Amukamara, you've got House Amukamara, you've got Colvin, you bring in Ramsey, and you just let him fit in and compete and get his feet wet if you think he's the best potential athlete. Who knows? Right now, I think
sure.
You and I would both bet he's not sitting there at number five.
No, I don't think he will be either, but I think they're getting close to doing enough in free agency at this point where if they can sign Ayers and Amukamara, say, that they've gotten close to a point where whoever the best football player is at five, they can take, right? Because it's not going to be a quarterback is not going to be the best football player, and obviously he wouldn't be on their board anyway. But they're getting closer and closer to the point of who cares if they got a safety in a corner. If Ramsey's the best available player, they can take him. Who cares if they have all these guys on those three spots on the defensive line? If they feel like DeForest Buckner is the best football player, they can take him. They're getting closer to getting that kind of flexibility in the NFL draft. They're not there yet, but they're getting closer to that kind of point where it's not like, well, we really need a corner, right? Like, they're getting closer to that kind of point, which they weren't there a week ago.
We just really want Miles Jack.
Right.
Okay? We don't need Miles Jack. Miles we just Jack. Want Miles Jack, please.
Oh, he makes more sense every day.
It really does make more sense every single day, right? With the age on Puzzlesny, the fact you want to play Scooter maybe more up on the line of scrimmage.
They haven't gotten a linebacker.
Come on down, yeah. Miles Jack. So, all right, Robert Ayers, Prince Amukamara, still potentials, and the work will be done on that today. At least some of the legwork will be done on that today, and I think Dave Caldwell maybe has an inkling that a guy like Robert Ayers, or Prince for that matter, wants to take another visit because it's my understanding that Ayers was visiting Tampa and planned to go to Miami and then switch that up to come to Jacksonville. So you'd like to, you know, if you really want to sign these guys, you'd like to let them not get out of the building without agreeing to terms on a contract, but it's not always going to go that way. Sometimes they circle back and still do come back to a team they talked to previously. They just want to check the market all the way around. So, and the pass rush is dwindling out there. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to hear from Tayshaun Gibson and Malik Jackson, hear some of what they had to say as they were introduced to the media and thus the fans yesterday here at Everbank. But, Tony, in the interest of fairness, to say we would ignore the punter is just obscene, right? I mean, Brad Nortman, in all seriousness, I believe it was Ryan O'Halloran asked him a question about I thought it was pretty interesting about the process of building a team and the chemistry that goes into it and what he learned about that as a member of the Carolina Panthers. And I was actually struck by the answer that he gave, so we wanted to play that cut for you. Here's Brad Nortman, the new punter of the Jaguars.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. When I got to Carolina in 2012, we weren't deemed as contenders, and we were seasons under 500 and everything. And I was able to be a part of and see the evolution of that team in my 4 years go from being, I think, when I got there, we were 7-9, I think 6-10 the year before I got there, and then obviously the Super Bowl year we just had. I think the biggest thing that I can take away from that, and then to add to Jacksonville, is two things. I think the coaches were very supportive, unending support in us, and just from all the communications and contact I've had with Coach Bradley and Coach Mallory, Coach Smiley, they've just been incredibly supportive, and it just seems like they're building a great culture. Culture is so it's so undervalued. I think it's something that can be a major X factor, and I can feel that here. I felt that even walking in the door. That just creating a brotherhood. It's kind of part of culture. Talent. The NFL is so the talent is so widespread that some of these X factors that start to make a difference. I think that seeing your teammates as brothers as opposed to just teammates and actually genuinely putting team before self. Those are some of the things that I picked up from Carolina, and I see the ingredients of that there, and I'm eager to take that here as well.
All right, Brad, I appreciate all the sentiments. May that be the last time we ever hear from you. All right, now go average 50 yards then, please. All right, that's all. That's all we ask of you. And in case folks missed it yesterday, Dave Caldwell addressed this. Why not Brian Anger? Why Nortman? He said, look, we made an offer to Brian Anger, and instead of receiving a counteroffer, they said, no, you know, we want to test the market. This is my thought. If you're Brian Anger, and as long as you play in Jacksonville, you are Brian Anger, comma, the guy who got drafted ahead of Russell Wilson. Forever. You're still going to be that guy, but if you go kick for the Cincinnati Bengals, or you go punt for Seattle or whoever, right, it's not going to be the first thing out of everybody's mouth. And as long as he played here, he, from his perspective, I don't know this. This is just my guess. From his perspective, I'd want to get away from that kind of stigma as well.
I can't imagine there's another NFL city where there's been more conversation about a punter in the last 3 years than in Jacksonville.
Probably
right. Can't imagine.
Right, and none of it positive.
No.
Right? No matter what he did, it wasn't going to matter. He could average 60 yards a punt.
Every time he punted, every time that Brian Anger went out there to punt, I can tell you, watching from the press box, that there were comments being made about a weapon, you know, a starter.
Right, what a weapon.
All these different things. The ball just sounds different coming off his foot. All these things. They came up for 3 years every time he stepped on the field, and I'm guessing fans in the stands were saying the same kind of things, even if they were saying it just as a joke. And eventually you're going to feel those things if you're Brian Anger. You can't not feel those things. So, look, if he wants to get out of Jacksonville, I can completely understand why he would want to.
And another guy kind of in that boat, but not that same one, is Toby Gerhardt, right, who they released yesterday. And Dave announced that yesterday afternoon that they would make that transaction at 4 o'clock yesterday. And it wasn't he said, look, it wasn't we signed Chris Ivory, now we're going to get rid of Toby Gerhardt, because they had said Toby may still have a role on this football team. He said, I think Toby, and I'm paraphrasing here, he didn't say writing on the wall, but I think that's what it was. Toby saw the writing on the wall. What is my role going to be on this football team? Is that going to be short yardage? You just paid Chris Ivory all this money. So Toby, he said, went to him and said, look, let me see if there's another job out there for me that's a better fit. I can't believe that Toby's going to make $3.5 million anywhere else around the National Football League this year, but I think there's a good chance he wasn't going to make it here in Jacksonville either. Either he would have eventually been released or been asked to take a salary cut, so at least now he can go around and see, is there a team that could use me and have me higher on the depth chart than it looked like I was going to end up in Jacksonville, when you consider you had Denard Robinson in the mix here as well. All right, we will come back on the other side, and we'll hear from Tayshaun Gibson and Malik Jackson as they spoke yesterday with the media, and also Malik joined the Frank Frangie Show. I think Tayshaun may be joining XL Primetime later on this afternoon live, if I'm not mistaken. I'll double check on that coming up. But all that and more coming your way. Don't forget, fan feedback question of the day is this. If, hypothetically, the Jags could only sign one, because I get, why don't you just sign both of them? Well, they're trying to, okay? If they can only sign one of Robert Ayers or Prince Amukamara, which one would you rather have here in Jacksonville? Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The biggest things as a DB to have guys like that, as disruptive as a guy like Malik Jackson. And, you know, if he can play 16 games like he did in the playoffs, I mean, a guy like me couldn't be more pleased, man. And if I can't turn that into another Pro Bowl season, then maybe I ain't deserving. So,
Tayshaun Gibson's going to be a fan favorite if he can play at all, right? If he plays well at all, Tayshaun Gibson is such a great communicator. Seems like he's got a good story. Seems like, I mean, you know, just cut out of that mold of the guys Dave Caldwell wants, the guys that eat, sleep, and breathe football. You hear him talk with Dave Caldwell earlier about how good of a locker room they have, Tony. That's really important to him, and I get it. Wins are important to the fans. Can you do both? I think you can, right? I think you can do both. I think Carolina was renowned for having a great locker room this year. Everybody raved about the cohesiveness, you know, where Cam created a stir outside of that organization. They love Cam Newton in Carolina. They all seem to be, you know, that prototypical band of brothers type. You heard Brad Nortman talking about that. You can have both. The Jags need to catch up in the win department, but in terms of quality guys coming in here that can play football, Tayshaun Gibson, add him to the list as well. And, you know, one of the reasons he said he came to Jacksonville because he feels his team is headed in the right direction.
You look at this organization, this is an up-and-coming organization, and it got a lot of moving parts that's going in the right direction. And in this league, when you start getting to, you know, certain amounts of money, you begin to look at this life-changing money regardless. But I guess it comes into play that you want to start winning. And, you know, it's nothing against Cleveland, man. I have nothing but love and respect for that organization and love for the city. But, you know, I feel like this organization is going in the right direction.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, hearing from Caldwell and hearing those comments now from Tashawn Gibson, kind of looking in the light of one of the things Caldwell said today, that they felt like they heard from agents going back to with some of these guys they've already signed, that there were competitive offers from other teams around the league, and it feels good that these guys chose Jacksonville, basically over some of these other offers that were competitive with what the Jaguars were offering these players. Gibson may have been one of those guys, too, who maybe he was getting offered from somewhere else that's maybe winning more right now than Jacksonville, but still chose Jacksonville. We don't know that for a fact. He went on to say, talk a little bit about the Jaguars offense and how good it is and what that could mean for them going into the future.
It all starts with the quarterback, and we all know that. It's no secret about that. And I think that we got a good one here, a good young one that's developing. You know, you got two receivers, I think 2,000-yard receivers on top of Pro Bowl tight end. You know, we just signed Chris Ivory, who I've played against for the past 2 years. Man, I think he's one of the hardest running backs to tackle in the NFL. So you combine that with some of the moving parts on defense, and I mean, it's hard to see why this organization not going to go in the right direction.
All right, hearing from Tayshaun Gibson, one of the newest Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony, who's not only had a knack for intercepting the ball, and man, could we use that here on the First Coast, but when he gets the ball in his hands, he's been a dynamic guy, a returning a couple for touchdowns, has a very good, you know, average return on his interceptions, and he was asked about that yesterday with the ball skills. Why does he have such a knack for being so elusive when he does get the ball in his hands?
Just having instincts, I think that's one of the things, man. Growing up playing offense predominantly until I got to college, you know, I never played defense really up until I got to college. So it was one of the things where, you know, once the ball is in your hands, you always want to score. You don't get many opportunities, man. And I've been blessed each of the past couple of seasons to be able to get my hands on a lot of balls. But and it, just once you get the ball, man, you never know when you're going to get another opportunity, so you got to make the most of it. And that's my motto every time I get an interception or a fumble recovery.
Center field, that's the word we've heard a lot about them trying to find a free safety in this kind of defense. They need a guy who can do that sideline to sideline, cover the entire middle of the field for this football team. Tashawn Gibson was asked about his discussions on his role at safety and how they plan to use him.
Yeah, one thing about me is I pride myself on seeing the ball and getting the ball, man. And that's one of the things that I want to make, wanted them to be able to say, hey, man, if you want to utilize me for my abilities to be able to cause turnovers and be of that resource, then, you know, that's where I want to go. And one thing that they told me is they're going to let me be me. They're not going to ask me to do too much that's out of my game. They're just going to let me play football and let me go back to playing football the way that I know I can play at a high level. You know, and albeit, you know, God willing, injury free, I feel like this is going to be a huge year. You know, and a guy like me, the way I pride my game on, when you got guys like Fowler coming back, Malik Jackson and Audric and guys like that on that line, and you know, whatever guys they add throughout the draft and the free agency process, I mean, I'm just sitting back there licking my chops, man. I might have another 6 or 7 picks this year.
All right. I like the enthusiasm. You know, a lot of unproven in terms of the pass rush that you just mentioned right there. I mean, it's not like we're counting on Audric to be a double-digit sack guy. I'm not counting on Malik Jackson to be a double-digit sack guy, Tony,
no.
But I am counting on him to improve that pass rush. And one more note along those lines, again, in case you missed it, you can go to 1010XL.com to the on-demand section and hear that Dave Caldwell interview specifically asked about Cedric Marks, that he should be fully healthy and cleared, ready to go for everything by OTAs. So that's a great sign, because
yeah,
there's some thought, well, is there a concern? And maybe there is still concern, is he going to hold up? But there's not concern right now that he'll be ready for 2016. So let's get a healthy Cedric Marks to September.
Mike, I just talked to Gibby, and they will have Tayshaun Gibson on XL Primetime at 2 o'clock today.
You took the words practically out of my mouth, which was going to be the next thing I was going to say. So there you have it. Tayshaun Gibson coming up on XL Primetime at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Dynamite drop-in by Tyler Devitt at Broadcasting School, as we all know, is paying off very well.
You're welcome.
Malik Jackson. Yes, go ahead, Tyler.
I was just saying, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Malik Jackson on the Frangie show yesterday afternoon, and getting to know him a little bit as well. And he says more the lead by example type. He's not the most vocal guy out on the football field.
You know, I'm not a real vocal guy. I like to lead with my pads and my play, and I think that's who I am. And he said, you know, just come out here and help us, you know, however you kind of feel fit, help us just get better. Like, whatever that means, you help us get better. So, you know, I kind of get to kind of take that all in and think about how I can help this team, you know, get better with me and what I've learned and what I can do. And I think, you know, just kind of sitting back thinking about that, you know, I think I could do a lot. So, one thing, I just had a great talk with Coach Bradley. You know, he kind of said the same thing, like, you know, we want you to come out here to lead and help people, have whatever that means. So, you know, I've kind of been thinking about that because it will be the first time I'm a, you know, leader, you know, because we had guys like D-Ware, Von Miller, Peyton Manning on the Denver. So, you know, it wasn't too room for too many captains to be coming there sneaking in. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, with all this responsibility, you know, comes, you know, a lot of whatever. I just want there to be the best leader I can be, whatever that means.
Yeah, Malik Jackson joining Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew yesterday on the Frank Frangie Show here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Also talked about why he chose the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, my agent was talking to me about it. You know, he was telling me about their offense and what they built up and their defense and what they need help on and what's been going on. So I kind of had a good idea of Jacksonville really early. And then, you know, as the process kind of started, Monday started, you know, agent said Jacksonville came real strong. And then Tuesday came and we just... You know, Jacksonville was just still coming strong. I felt like they really wanted me. I felt like they gave me something that I can raise my daughter with. So, you know, I decided to show them love back and come to Jacksonville and just show these coaches and this organization that I really appreciate them and that I want to give them all I have.
I'm shocked and disappointed that he didn't mention me.
What BS, Malik? Seriously. We go all the way to San Francisco to put Tony Smith in front of you, to sell you on the virtues of the
904. We all know why you chose Jacksonville.
Tony Smith is why you chose Jacksonville.
It's Tony Smith and $90 million.
And, all right, it's a great place to raise your family. That's ancillary. That's on the side. Are you kidding me? Tony Smith laid the groundwork for you, Jaguar fans. That's what happened out at the Super Bowl this year. Malik Jackson talked about what role he has envisioned for himself with this football team.
Well, I know my role is going to be in there to go in the three technique and disrupt the quarterback. You know, I got to... Coach Walsh's brain a little bit on the defense and the terminology. And, you know, I see myself playing the three technique, getting after the quarterback like I did in Denver. You know, I know they have a hybrid. They're a hybrid 4-3 team. So, you know, that's all I should just be put in position to go out there and let my skill set show and shine. And I think, you know, with this day that they have here with this defense, I'll be able to do just that. And, you know, you couldn't ask for more, you know, besides a big check and a great team and a great organization.
Malik, also a comment, final comment here from him joining Frank and Rick yesterday, thinks the Jags are building it in the right direction.
I think they're going in the right direction. You know, I don't think I would have came if I felt any different. I feel like they're, you know, they got the young kid, Fowler, who got injured last year, who's going to come off the edge. You know, I think they, like I said, they've been building their offense for the past few years. Get a lot of key guys on offense, have 2,000-yard receivers last year. So I think on the offense is starting to get ready, getting that groove. And they're looking for that key defense to go out there and stop offense from scoring a lot of points. I think I could just be a part of that, and I want to be a part of that. And I think that they're all the right pieces. I just can't wait till we get over here in OTAs and start coming together and really mesh as a team and start building this team together and go out here and get some games for the city of Jacksonville.
All right, then that was Malik on the Frank Frangie Show. But Tony, as you described it earlier, the money quote. From Malik Jackson was when
from
he was
anybody
at the podium.
Yesterday. Honestly,
it was fantastic, and you saw they were airing it live on NFL Network as he did it. He talked about, you know, it's a big contract. Yeah, it's $90 million, but he wants to make sure that he earns every penny of that contract.
Go out there and you earn the $90 million contract. You know, it's all written out and you earn it. But at the same time, you have to go out there and earn it. They don't give you 90 today. You know, so it's not like I have it in my account. I can just go sit down and not do anything. It's not like basketball where I can get it all guaranteed. You know, I still got to go out there. You still got to play, but it's not like, you know, I got to go earn all of it. You know, and it's 6 years, 40, 42, 45 guaranteed. So, and I want 90 of it. I want all 90. So I have 6 years to go out there and earn it, and that's how I feel about it.
All right, well, we hope
it's
he
good
does.
Stuff, yeah.
Hope he earns every penny of it. You know, I think they'd be happy to pay him $90 million because that means he's been playing at the level they expected him to play when they brought him in here. Tyler Devitt, could you give me an update? Tayshawn Gibson Is he appearing on XL Primetime later on today?
Yes, I have confirmed with my sources. My sources are telling me he will join XL Primetime 2 p.m. today. Sources
in the building? You mean sources? You have sources inside the 1010 XL building?
My sources have confirmed that he will join XL Primetime at 2.
2 o'clock today, live on XL Primetime.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. That guy is all personality.
Seriously, great, great personality. You're going to really enjoy that conversation Joe C. and T-Wig will have with him coming up in about 2.5 hours today. It's just a Jaguar love fest day, man. It does. Tony, I'm a sucker. I am. I don't know if that's the right description. It's one of many that probably are fitting for me. But this time of year, when you get back in it, you get back around, because, you know, there's a down period between the end of the season and now. We don't spend a whole lot of time with Dave Caldwell. Just being around him, listening to the way he thinks. I'm a believer in Dave Caldwell. I am. And I'm not saying he's been a perfect general manager. Has he whiffed on some? Absolutely. Show me the GM that doesn't. But I love what they're doing here. I love the pieces that they're bringing in. I consider me bathing in the tea again. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid as far as that goes. I mean, I'm ready for this team to get on the field myself. Just stay healthy this off season. I think this team could take a major step forward on the defensive side of the football, and if they can take that same leap that they took last year offensively, 9-7, 10-6 is doable in this division. I don't care about Brock Osweiler. Hey, that's good for Houston, but Jags, it's time, man. Go get them. Let's see if they can do it. And with these additions and hopefully more to come, we'll see where things stand after free agency. And then, of course, still 8 draft picks to add to this football team as well. Coming up, Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you today if you could only have one, Prince Amukamara or Robert Ayers, the cornerback or the defensive end. Both will be visiting with Dave Caldwell and the Jaguars today. If you could only have one, which one would you prefer for this football team right now? We'll give you the tally when we return in a moment. It's Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Robert got in last night, and he was able to have dinner with us. And, you know, we took all the four new guys out to dinner last night. Prince got in late last night. Those guys got up early this morning and did their physical with our team doctor, Dr. Kaplan, over there at JOI.
Nice little plug for JOI. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios is where Jaguars Today holds court. That's what's happening. They went out to dinner last night, and they will be entertaining Robert Ayers and Prince Amukamara. Not as interesting, Tony. They take their physicals first. I always thought it was backward. You know, I always thought, yeah, let's negotiate, and then, okay, we agreed. Now let's take a physical to make sure that's the final thing. Because sometimes you see, it's all done but the physical. Here he's saying they're going to give these guys physicals, and then
maybe that's a sign of their confidence.
Maybe. I don't know what that is. I should have followed up and asked, is that the typical method for doing it? I'm not trying to read too much into that, but I thought it was interesting anyway.
Because I know Malik Jackson didn't have a physical before he agreed to that contract. He couldn't have.
Right.
They couldn't have talked to him.
Right.
Him physically and gotten him in to do that before they agreed to that
contract. Right, because he agreed to the contract through the agent, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's a case-by-case basis, or maybe we're just interpreting.
Maybe
that
when
a
you actually
wrong.
Have a visit, that's what you do.
You know what surprised me? Brock Osweiler said he didn't speak to a single member of the Houston organization before he signed there. Not the head coach, not the GM, not none of the players. Nobody. It was just...
He really wanted out of Denver.
He really wanted out of Denver, and they obviously negotiate through your agent, and that's fine. And he liked the situation. Look, I can evaluate the situation from afar. I don't need to speak to Bill O'Brien, but you would think if you're making this kind of life changing, momentous decision, this is where you're going to spend. You hope the bulk of the rest of your NFL career. You'd at least talk to the head coach, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
What kind of confidence level do you have in me?
Even if your intention is to sign there.
Right.
I would think you at least have a conversation with somebody.
How do I fit into your plans? How do I fit into your offense? These kind of things, you know, especially because O'Brien is a described quarterback guru, quarterback whisperer type guy. I thought it was fascinating today with the fan feedback spotlight, the way things turned out.
Yeah.
Okay. We asked you today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, do you go Prince? Do you go Ayers? Robert Ayers, the defensive end. Both of these guys just played with the New York Giants last year, which, you know, he had a career year in the pass rush department, but I like the fact, Tony, he didn't have a whole lot of help, right? There weren't a whole lot of other guys drawing double teams to open up things for Robert Ayers. Prince Amukamara, talented guy, as you said. He's had some injury concerns throughout his career, but they'll check out his health. Cornerback, he would jump in to the starting mix along with Devon House and allow Colvin to play in the slot, and you'd have your three top corners at least heading into the draft locked down. So if you could only get one of these guys, which one would you take? And, you know, a couple of people early on said, oh, it's going to be Ayers, and it's going to be a runaway, and it's not even going to be close. And there are a lot of people that felt strongly that Ayers, no doubt, we want the pass rush. There are other people that felt strongly about Prince. You know what? Ayers may not start on this team. I think Prince is the better player. And there are a lot of people who were clearly torn, so much so that the results were practically split right down the middle.
No, they were. We had 39 votes on the question today, and Robert Ayers wound up winning the thing by one vote. 20-19 is our final tally. And I think there are really legitimate arguments on both sides of which, if you could only get one, and for everyone that responded, well, why not get both? Thanks for participating. We're asking a poll question. We understand we'd like to have both. If they could have both, we'd all prefer that they get both. But if they could only have one, which one is more important for them to go get? And Omukamara is the better player at his position than Robert Ayers. But Robert Ayers is playing a position where the Jags desperately need help in that pass rush thing. And for everyone who says, well, he's probably better in a backup role, well, yeah. That's what he succeeded at when he was in New York, was in a backup role, in a rotational basis, which is exactly what he would be if he came here to Jacksonville. He'd be the guy rotating with Dante Fowler Jr. He makes a lot of sense from that kind of perspective. And for Omukamara, who is a guy who the book on him is that he's more comfortable in zone coverage than he is in man coverage, which is what they'd be asking him to do in Jacksonville, basically as one of those outside corner spots, he makes sense too. I think Omukamara is a better player at his position than Ayers is, so my lean would go towards Prince, but I think they're both really close, and the results of our poll showed that, 20-19.
20-19 Ayers, right?
Yes.
You would vote for Omukamara, I would vote for Ayers, right? And again,
so it's 21-20.
21-20. Two on the text line, they both went for Prince.
Oh!
Oh!
What about Tyler?
Coming to Tyler.
Prince or Ayers?
Ayers or Omukamara?
I'm going to go with Omukamara because it's fun to say.
Omukamara.
No,
it's
up
by
two.
A couple votes.
It's
so.
You just can't overcome that kind of deficit.
The point is, I would think the margin for error is we're well within it, and this is what we would call a toss-up right now between these two guys.
No, so, it is.
I mean, man, Tony, seriously, how good would it be? Look, we all wanted Olivier Vernon. I get it. As you heard Dave Cole will say yesterday and reiterate today, way outside their comfort zone of what they're willing to pay this guy. So, you know, for the people who say, this team is just cheap, this team makes excuses, blah, 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 blah. Do you want to pay $52 million guaranteed, more money, 52 and a half, more money than J.J. Watt got guaranteed for a guy who's had one double-digit sack season in his career? I'm not saying I didn't want him. I'm not saying I didn't want him. I don't blame Dave Caldwell a bit for raising his hand and saying, uncle, at a certain point saying, enough, I can't go any further. And plus, you add in the fact that he clearly seemed, according to the reporting on the story by Peter King, to want to play in New York as opposed to play in Jacksonville,
yeah.
The lure of the big city and all that stuff, which is fine. That's his prerogative. But the idea that they're not aggressively trying to spend the money.
They are. They spent $90 million on Malik Jackson. They spent good money on Chris Ivory. They spent good money on a safety. They offered crazy money to Olivier Vernon. They're not scared to spend the money. I think the thing we haven't talked about today with Omukamara and Ayers both being here, last offseason when the Jags were making the change to the offensive coordinator and they let go of their guy and go get the guy that had the only offense that was worse.
Yeah, ranked worse.
Right. The Giants have the worst-ranked defense in the NFL last year. They were below the Jags. They were the lone team that was below the Jags in total defense last year, and you got two of the 11 guys from that defense coming in to visit today. And that hasn't been part of the conversation because I think Prince Omukamara is a good football player, and I think Robert Ayers in a rotational role is a major upgrade for this football team. But there is that out there that they're talking about getting basically 20% of the worst defense in the NFL to come in here and consider it an upgrade.
That's
right now.
True, and which goes to show you got to look beyond just those statistics overall. Is that player, what are the reasons, can he perform when he comes here? What are your expectations of him? Does he fit into what you want to do? But I'm telling you, if they get Malik Jackson, which I already have, Tayshaun Gibson, who will be on with XL Primetime Live today at 2 o'clock. By the way, a couple people have been asking me, is he going to be in studio or on the phone? I think on the phone because I think he's out of town.
That's what my sources are telling me, correct.
Okay, your sources are. I don't know if they're planning on, you know, dropping by Hogan Road looking for that autograph. That may have been the case, but don't bother because he is going to be on the phone today. But if they get Malik Jackson, Tayshaun Gibson, Robert Ayers, Prince Mukamara, Chris Ivory, and, you know, punter. That's a pretty nice haul.
That's a great
free agency. I think it
honestly,
is.
I think it's whatever they're going to do to address the offensive line. If they could bring somebody else in just for competition's sake, or somebody that could possibly compete for that left guard spot, then I think they've done everything I expected them to do in free agency. If they can get that done, now it's still out there. That means that they're signing Ayers and Amukamara and going to get somebody to help the offensive line. But I do think with all the disappointment that a lot of fans felt yesterday with them not getting Olivier Vernon, that this still has the potential to be a really, really good free agent class for this Jaguars team that, again, work to do, but it's there.
Right, good players who fill needs, immediate needs on this football
and
team.
And spend the money that you have to spend. You can't go through another offseason where you're not spending it. So for people that have been asking too, well, what about building through the draft and we're going to have all these players coming in through free agency to play on defense? They're still going to try to build the defense through the draft. I don't know that because they do all this in free agency, that necessarily means that they're not going to spend the first three picks on defense when we get to the NFL draft this year. So they're still going to try to build it that way. It's that they had $90 million and an opportunity to improve.
Why not do both?
On that
right?
side of the ball. Get it done.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do to get that defense competitive in 1 year as opposed to having to wait two for a draft class to come around, go get it done because I keep saying it, but the offense is ready. You got to get the defense competitive, and it just wasn't last
and
year.
And still not jeopardize your long-term financial flexibility, and they've left themselves in a good position. Here's one on the text line. What about center? Is it Wisniewski a free agent? Are they at certain Linder or Belenko is the answer? I thought Alex Mack was a slam dunk. Well, Alex Mack was a slam dunk in the minds of people who thought, well, just because they signed him 2 years ago, they're going to sign him. Dave Caldwell addressed that yesterday. We didn't get into that with him today, but he said, hey, you know what? 2 years older, some injury. We just didn't think at this time, you know, we wanted to go to, we weren't as confident in him as a player, and I'm paraphrasing,
sure,
now than we were 2 years ago. And they are confident in Linder. We do think Linder will be the starting center, and that Can will start at one of the guard spots. And, of course, you got Parnell. And for right now, they are talking up Jokel. So that leaves a guard position. Maybe it's Shatley. Maybe it's Bolanco. Maybe it's a free agent that they signed. Maybe they're going to draft a lineman. We
maybe.
Don't know.
And I don't think Wisniewski's completely out of the plans. I think the idea with Wiz was that he's going to go out and see what he can get in free agency, because that was his idea too. Come to Jacksonville, try to get a long-term contract the next year. That's what his idea was too. So I think they're going to let him test those waters, see what kind of money's out there for him. And if he doesn't get the kind of money he thought he was going to get, I think it's certainly possible that he's still a center for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it's going to be a coming back around to Jacksonville type deal if Wisniewski's going to be the center for them. But yeah. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for him to be the guy.
Someone texted us, said O-lineman Mackenzie Bernadeau is coming to visit the Jaguars. I had to look him up. He's been a longtime backup in the National Football League, most recently with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not attesting to that happening, but maybe he is coming in. But that's going to be the kind of guy that they're going to look at, you know, a guy who's maybe been around the league and give you some veteran competition that you could throw in there. He's not going to freak out. He's a big guy, 6'4", 322. Again, that's just one we got on the text line. No confirmation on that. But look, they're going to visit with a lot of guys between now and whenever. I mean, even after the second and third wave of free agency is over with, you still meet with guys occasionally that linger out there for whatever reason, and you keep a list. Hey, if we get an injury, if something happens down the line, if your asking price comes down, maybe something will work out in the future. Full day today. We appreciate the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Dave Caldwell, joining us to kick things off today. Again, if you missed the conversation or you just want to hear what Dave had to say, again, go to 1010XL.com on the main page, scroll down to the on-demand section, and you should be able to find it right there. Also able to bring you some of the thoughts of the newest Jaguars, our interview with Chris Ivory. Then you heard Tayshaun Gibson, who you'll hear, again, coming up on XL Primetime in a little over 2 hours. Malik Jackson, who joined the Frank Frangie show yesterday. Even Brad Nortman chiming in today. So thanks to all of you out there who voted on the poll. Amukamara in a close one over Ayers. We'll take them both, like all of you will as well.
Sure.
And let's watch that and hope it gets done today.
By the way, we should mention Johnny Manziel has officially been cut by the Cleveland Browns.
They tried and tried to find a suitor to take him, and there was some speculation maybe they could use him as a piece of a package in dealing for Colin Kaepernick, because Chip Kelly recruited Manziel to Oregon, and it wasn't until he actually verbaled to Oregon that the Texas schools started to take a serious look at him, and then he was able to stay home and play for A&M. But for right now, you want Manziel? Go get him. Yeah. He's free
out
there.
Maybe San Francisco can land their first, quote, big fish in Johnny Manziel, considering how active they've been with their $62 million.
Yeah, you know what would be the most Jets thing ever? They get Kaepernick, Manziel, RG3, let them battle it out with Geno Smith, the four of them. Just go at it. It'll be the summer of quarterbacks up there in New York that with all the skill position players around them just crying their eyes out. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. 287-7756, the number you need to call if you've got issues with your roof or you want to make sure that you don't. Call Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. License number CCC 056797, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars today. That does it for Tony and I, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato. We're signing off for Jaguars today. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll welcome it XL Primetime next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
That's great job.
You guys have a good day. Peace.